All right, the Chiefs offseason is going to be an eventful one, and it'll be interesting to see how they maneuver. Steve Spagnuolo, now the defensive coordinator, the move to a 4-3 base, which is Steve Spagnuolo said, we played it the other day, you're in sub-packages so much, that's not maybe nearly as big a deal as it used to be, but the personnel that plays in whatever formation they play is a big deal. Matt Verderam has written about it for fansided.com. He is the lead NFL writer. He joins us on our Sprint guest line right now. Matt, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, Trent. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for giving us some time today. And so tell me, Houston, unwilling, I'm intrigued by your tweet from last night, unwilling to take less guaranteed money. Is there any what guaranteed money is still left on his contract?
Well, there's very little guaranteed money left. And so the report was basically that, look, his cap number next year is $21 million. The Chiefs understand from everything that I've been told by people with knowledge of the situation that they cannot pay Dee Ford and Justin Houston, have any ability to go into free agency and make even a minor splash. And so the likelihood is that Ford is going to get tagged, and they're basically going to pay for that tag by releasing Houston, which would be a $14 million savings. The tag is like $15.77 million, I believe. So it's all but a wash. And look, with Houston, if the Chiefs were willing to restructure and add a couple of years here where there would be guaranteed money, then that would be one thing. But my understanding is that's highly unlikely. The Chiefs know they have a lot of big contracts coming up. So in essence, you know, for Houston, it's going to be, look, I'm not just going to take a straight pay cut. I'm too good of a player for that. He certainly remains a force. And so he would, I'm sure, rather say, look, trade me, cut me. I'm not just going to take a straight pay cut unless you're going to add guaranteed money onto my contract.
Okay, and that makes sense. Do you have any inclination that the Chiefs are willing to do that?
My understanding is it's unlikely that the Chiefs will add guaranteed money. I mean, look, everything's fluid, and certainly, you know, everybody's going to be descending upon Indianapolis next week for the combine. Every agent in the world is there, and of course, all 32 teams are there. So things can happen. Conversations, you know, can change things, and deals can be struck. But as of right now, like I think it's unlikely that the Chiefs are going to add guaranteed money. Most of all, because while they still value Justin Houston, the problem is they have to add to other areas of this defense. They know that the secondary is a weak link. They understand that, look, they may need to add a corner and a safety, maybe even two corners between free agency and the draft, and they're going to be paying Chris Jones and Tyreek Hill at some point. I mean, both of those guys are going to get massive extensions. And so if all those things are going to happen, then somebody's got to go. And Houston makes the most sense just looking at his age, his durability, and his contract.
The Chiefs, listen, if I look back to what Andy Reid did with the Eagles, and I can remember people here in Kansas City when Reid was with the Eagles saying, we got to do things like the Eagles and Steelers. That sometimes they get out on a guy too early, but they're never too late on getting out from a guy. So this approach to Justin Houston, who's 30, that fits to me with the way they used to do things. And presumably there was a difference of opinions between John Dorsey and Andy Reid, and we're going to more of what Andy Reid did in Philadelphia with Matt Veach Brett Veach as the general manager of the Chiefs. But so I get the Houston thing. I think that's a simple one to understand. Dee Ford's not one of those, like both Anthony Hitchens and Sammy Watkins, who were signed to free agency last year, were 25 years old. And I think that's significant because they don't want 29, 30, 31-year-old guys. At least they don't want them making big, fat checks on their payroll. Do you get the idea that it's anything more than a franchise tag and put it off till next year, a franchise tag and trade with Dee Ford? Or do you think the franchise tag begets a multi-year deal, which would clearly take him well into his 30s?
No, I think right now for the Chiefs, it's let's tag him, play it out, and see how it goes. What Dee Ford talked about, if he got the franchise tag, that he would be fine with that. And so I don't think there's any acrimony or any drama. I think that their camp's fine. He gets the tag, they'll play it out. And then I think it becomes, well, what year does he have in 2019? Does he have a repeat of what we just saw, 13 sacks? Or does he have a year where really, you know, the most of his first 4 years, he was really inconsistent, he missed some time? So I think his performance in 2019 will dictate their direction going forward. Look, after next year, regardless, even if they somehow strike something with Houston and they can figure out a way to get him back into the fold, which, again, is unlikely. But if they do that, they're still going to have to be able to move on from some guys after this upcoming year, because then those contracts, if they get them done with Jones and Hill this offseason, they're going to start having bigger numbers. And Mahomes at some point, of course, is going to get a monster deal. So they're going to, like, even like if Berry comes back this year, they're going to have to probably move on after this season. Even if they are able to somehow work it out with Justin Houston, after this year, he's probably gone. And that's another reason why it's just, it's very hard to add guaranteed money but still maintain flexibility and not be hit with a ton of dead cap money.
Is moving on from Justin Houston the right decision, or would they be better off moving on from D Ford? I know the age difference, but Justin Houston actually can set an edge. D Ford can't. And I know pass rush is much more important than stopping the run and where everybody's at, although I think the New England Patriots were absolutely an example of why they're so brilliant. They took advantage of that. Everybody goes into nickel and dime packages, fine. We'll play 1990 Giants football and run it right down your throat, and they ran it right down everyone's throat all the way to a world championship. Is D. Ford's injury history any better than Justin Houston's, and are they actually keeping the right guy in this situation despite the age difference?
Well, it's a great question. And both have an injury history. Obviously, Ford more at the back. Houston's had some knee issues. I think ultimately, yes, they're making the right decision, and it's more of a question of finances. Now, look, if you keep Ford and you cut Houston, you're basically taking on the $7 million of dead money and the tag. So if you were to let Ford go and you just kept Houston at $21 million, it's almost a wash. I mean, you may be adding $1 million in the situation where you keep Ford. But you are in a situation where you have a younger player. Frankly, at this point, I think Houston's a better overall player, but I think Ford's the better pass rusher. And it's hard to justify, as good as Houston is, paying your third best pass rusher $21 million. Because right now, look, Jones is the best player on that defense. He's not great against the run, but he's an absolute force up the middle. And Ford, if nothing else, and I don't think he's ever going to be a coverage guy like Houston at one point was, and I don't think he's a great guy against the run, but he's tremendous coming off the edge. And so, yeah, it's a tough decision, but I do think that if it just does come down, like it looks like it will, to one or the other, yeah, I think you probably keep Ford because of the age, and you hope that he gives you another great year.
Yeah, Breland Speaks better be good on the run. I mean, and he is. He's better than Ford. He's in between Houston and Ford with an upside to maybe get to where Justin Houston is against the run. But he damn well better be good, because that's my fear and why I thought this is the most likely route. I'm not trying to say by no means am I saying the Chiefs are morons. I just like the discussion to think it through, because I think this discussion's been had by the Chiefs. And so we, I think, kind of represent Matt Verderam, by the way, with us from Fansided, represent the conversations that the Chiefs have had internally as well. It is a little scary to think of them stopping the run with Chris Jones and D Ford and no Houston. I mean, that's Nnadi is a nice run stopper. He needs to get better. Yeah. They need to have pieces to it. I think they're going to count on the 4-3 and Hitchens maybe being a little bit cleaner and able to flow to the ball better to get it done. But if this thing goes, if they crap the bed again defensively next year, and I don't want to hear anything about getting up to 24 or 5, don't waste my time with that. That's as simple as, you know, we ran the ball a little bit more on offense. You can back-ass your way up 4 or 5 spots in the rankings. I mean, they need to be jumping 10. I think they need to jump into the top 15. And I think that'll be really hard if they can't ever stop the run. And I think it's a copycat league, and a lot of teams are going to look at what the Patriots are doing and saying, why are we throwing the ball over the yard with our mediocre quarterback and lack of game-breaking wide receivers? Why don't we just pound the rock and protect our defense better? I think you're going to have to stop the run more. I think people are going to fall in line behind what the Patriots did. Do you agree?
I agree to an extent. Yeah, look, I think the defense has to be a top 20 defense. That's just my thing, because the offense is so good that if that defense is even just respectable, they're going to win most of their games. I can tell you this. I know that the Chiefs are very high on Breland Speaks, and they're very high on Dorian O'Daniel. Both of those guys are going to be bigger players going forward for them. They feel they're better fits in the system now that Spagnuolo's there. And my personal belief, and I don't mean this to be a dig on Bob Sutton, I just think they're better already by changing their scheme. Their schemes over the last couple of years were way too simplistic, and at times, and I think the overtime, the AFC Championship game showed that they were just inflexible. They would run the same thing over and over and over. And if you're playing a team with a guy like a Tom Brady or even a Phillip Rivers, you're going to get torched if you don't get immediate pressure. So, look, I think they're better with the coordinator, but I do agree with you. Look, they're going to have to add assets to this defense. They've got to get better at corner. They've got to almost act as if Eric Berry's not even on the team. They've got to get better at safety. And if he's back and he's healthy, that's a huge plus. But guys who missed almost two full years and they're 30, there's not a great track history that those guys are going to come back and perform. So I think for the Chiefs, look, losing Houston, it would be a big blow, but I think they can find somebody who can get them 9 sacks in the regular season for maybe a third of the cap hit. My bigger question with them is, look, can Hitchens, and you brought him up earlier, he was terrific in Dallas in a 4-3. Well, he's going to be back in that system. Is that the player they're getting going forward? Because if they are, it's almost like they got a brand new middle linebacker. They need him and Nnadi, and if Xavier Williams doesn't get cut, they need those guys in the middle, especially on first and second and medium and short, to be able to plug some gaps. Because I do agree with you. Look, they'll get by in the regular season because teams can't run against them when the Chiefs are scoring 40 points. But when they play a team in the playoffs that can keep up with them and can run the ball, that's when it becomes a major problem.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Do you like, by the way, the Steve Spagnuolo signing overall based on what was available?
I do. Look, I think you know, there was talk about they should have gotten a younger guy, maybe a guy who's an up-and-coming assistant. I don't agree with that with this team. I think you need to find somebody who's got experience, who's done it, who's been there. And, like, you look at his defenses, he's been a coordinator for 6 years. 3 of those years were a disaster. 3 of them were really good, including a Super Bowl championship. The Chiefs have talent on this defense, and I think that was the biggest frustration with them was, you know, look, are they the 85 Bears? No, of course not. But they have guys on this. They should not have been 31st overall last year. There's no excuse for being as bad as they were, considering how good they were at getting pressure. So I think Spagnuolo comes over, bringing a 4-3 under system. I think the Chiefs actually have a lot of fits already on the roster. Mm-hmm. They're going to blitz more. They're going to be more multiple. And I think that's something that, look, they have not been in years. So, yeah, I think Spagnuolo was a good hire.
We're talking to Matt Verderam right now from Fanside, elite NFL writer. Well, I got you. The rest of their free agent plan, are you walking on Mitch Morse if you're the Kansas City Chiefs at center because of where you are cap-wise? I mean, they clearly are making moves wanting to get back into free agency and add some pieces. They signed Austin Ryder, during the season, so they have a fallback at center. Is Mitch Morse gone as a Chief in your mind?
My understanding is that Mitch Morse is not going to come back unless he takes a very team-friendly deal. I don't think that'll happen because he's going to have a market.
Okay.
I think most of their offensive free agents are gone. I think Morse will leave. Conley, I believe, will leave. Spencer Ware, I think it's unlikely he returns. I think the Chiefs are fine with backfilling those positions with younger guys on cheap deals. Look, they really do like Ryder quite a bit. And if you look at his contract, a lot of his money going forward is incentivized in how many starts he makes. So there's a belief there on his end that, hey, I'm going to get some playing time. I think that's a little bit of a telling situation. So I think for most of the free agents that they have, really across their team, maybe Anthony Sherman comes back, but he wouldn't cost a ton.
Right.
I think Nelson's gone. Skandrick's certainly gone. Parker, obviously, is long gone. I think Bailey, while a good player, I don't know that there's a fit in this scheme for him. So I think, look, and the other thing with Morse, quickly, is you look at the rest of that offensive line. Everybody's getting paid. Irving's making $7 million a year. LDTD is making $8 million. Fisher's up over $10 million. Schwartz is the biggest bargain in football, $6 million a year. And he, at some point, probably after next season, is going to be looking for an extension. And I'm sure the Chiefs would oblige. So, look, they're going to have to make some cuts some places if they want to add to that defense. And, yeah, I would expect that most of their free agents are going to be playing elsewhere next year.
All right, last point before I give you the final four, and that's what will the contracts look like for Chris Jones and Tyreek Hill if they get something done this offseason? So they're giving guaranteed money in advance. They seemingly would be buying a cheaper price to guarantee them a lot more money now. They wouldn't have to run the risk of training camp, 16 games, potentially playoff
right.
games as well, all those reasons. I know you know this, but for the folks that are out there, what kind of contract are we looking at for Chris Jones and Tyreek Hill?
I think for both guys, you're looking at 5 to 6 year contracts. They're both young guys. Those kind of deals, first of all, those deals are never actually 5 to 6 years. They're always probably, you know, 4 years or something like that. And so that would take them right up to about when they're 30. And if they're playing to that contract, then the Chiefs have the control at least all the way through it. I think money-wise, look, Jones is not going to get Aaron Donald money or Khalil Mack money because he's not good against the run. And while you're always paying for the way they play against the pass, the Chiefs play him half of their snaps. I mean, they're just, he's not going to get paid, you know, $125 million. That said, I think he's going to be around 100. I think he's going to get paid that. It's early in this process and everything else, but I think, yeah, 5 and 100, maybe, you know, $60 million guaranteed is real for him. And with Hill, Hill's going to get paid a boatload of money. He might be, by the end of it, the highest paid receiver in football because the cap goes up every year. There's always this conversation, okay, listen, we want to, we want to be at the top of the heap, especially agents always feel that way. And so I think those contracts might look pretty similar. I think he's going to get right around where Beckham got, and I think he deserves it. Look, without him, as good as that offense still would be, it's not great. He makes it great. He adds a dimension. He's the most electrifying player in football, and I think the Chiefs recognize that.
Matt Verderam is with us here on the program, lead NFL writer for FanSided. Time for our Final Four, brought to you by the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute, community's first and only hospital dedicated exclusively to orthopedics with an ortho urgent care. 7 days a week it's open. Find out more at kcoi.com. Matt, I'll start you with this. Andy Reid does or doesn't win a Super Bowl?
He wins one.
Here we go. I like that. All right. Give me your Super Bowl this year. 2019, end of the season, who beats who? We won't hold you to this, clearly, but just right now, what you're feeling.
I'll preface this by saying I've never picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl in a preseason prediction. I think the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl this year, and I think they will beat the Saints.
Okay, I like that. The Super Bowl we all wanted last year, we finally get this year. All right, Chiefs record in 19 will be what? What are you feeling? Obviously pretty good.
13-3. I just think that offense is going to carry the day, even if the defense is, you know, 20th or so.
Okay. And Mahomes' touchdown total next year will be what? What's he follow 15 with?
42.
42. From 50 to 42. I will take it. That's where I'm thinking as well. Great stuff, Matt. Really appreciate it. Thanks for giving us some time. And we'll talk to you again down the road.
Sounds good, Sharon. No problem.
All right. Thank you, Matt Verderam. Great stuff there about the Chiefs looking like Justin Houston. We knew it was going to be decision time one way or another, looking like that it's going to happen. Who knows? Maybe Justin Houston sits out there on the open market for a while and the Chiefs end up getting something done. But more likely that Dee Ford is going to be the guy. We'll take a break, come back. Maverick Minute is next. Brent Thies and the Mavs. Huge weekend. I'm going to call it huge, like next 8 days coming up at Silverstein Ice Center's Arena. We'll talk about that next here in the program.